Blog Talk Radio.
Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. Let them help along the way. Have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. It's a brand new day. But you gotta have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. In the moment, in the silence, if you listen, you will hear all the answers to your questions. They suddenly appear. Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. Let them help along the way. You gotta have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart and soul.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a great, wonderful reader. I'm very excited to have you meet. She truly is a godsend to this planet. I love her dearly. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, the switchboard is lined up. But I was thinking about today as I was driving down to the hill, and I went by this man, and he had this RV, and it said, "The end of the world is coming," all written all over the RV, you know. And he said it was going to end on May 21st. That's tomorrow, I think, right? Or yeah, I mean, no, two days. It's Saturday. So I was thinking I said, "Oh wow." You know, he is convinced of this. He's going around trying to spread the word, you know, to get people to, I guess, change their ways, I guess. And I thought about it as I was driving down that, you know, like if this was our last moment and our last day, would we be so concerned with the everyday mental anguish that we put ourselves through, right? Would we even care about our money situation? No, right? Wouldn't be what you'd be worried about. Would we care about the world? No, because we would be in our moment, and we would be creating the moment that we would like to see it as the last thing. What we would do, and what I would do, I'd like to know what other people might be doing on their last day, last moments, is really getting connected to their source, their light, their belief, right? They would bring that really fully into who they were. They would look at where they were. They would pay attention to their dog or their cat and pet it with great love and affection. They would look, especially if they live here, they would look at the most amazing place to live with such gratitude that they live here. There would be such a change that it would make it, in a sense, the last and most important moment that they see this in a sense is playing. And I thought about this. No matter what that gentleman believes, he is reminding us at a very subtle and beautiful level to pay attention to what's important.
Absolutely.
And to not really bring in all these mental, Sai Baba calls it the monkey mind, but the monkey mind will make you not happy about right where you are. It will bring you to places of anguish and turmoil and worry. And if we really got to it, that this man is reminding us to pay attention to this amazing moment we're in, because it could be our last. And would you want to be thinking those thoughts that bring you down or even have a negative energy involved in it? And I really was grateful for that reminder on my ride, you know, back. And so I really wanted to bring that out to this show because I really see that when we are in the small mind, the one that is worried about finances or wants that great love to show up and is not believing that they're out there, we are in the small self. We are not in the big self that is so appreciative of this very second that you're in. So
I know
the willingness of going there and staying there long enough for it to...
Right. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
When you mentioned the monkey mind, I immediately flashed on Hanuman, the monkey god of willingness.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like the monkey mind is the low self and Hanuman is the high self of willingness.
Mm-hmm. So the question then is, how willing are we to change the way that we do things to get a different result? Because I think what we get to see it as, you know, as medium psychics, intuitives, healers, whatever, we get to see the same pattern showing up in the problem, you know? And what I think you do, what I do, is we try to bring it up to the attention so that the pattern becomes small to the real true self of the person, you know?
Right, right.
And to me, that ultimately changes things when you can actually see it as the small little thought that you had compared to the real big self that doesn't care about that. You know, like if it was your last moment, your big self would be fully present and in your body, and you would be looking around, loving everything that you did experience. And to me, that would be my journey, and I don't know what it would be like for anybody else. So I'd love to hear, what would you do? Great question,
right,
to the universe. What would you do, Jessica, if it was your last moment?
Right. Well, I see our purpose here as loving.
Mm-hmm.
Our purpose is loving, and we have been given a gift in free will. And what we do if we are conscious, if we are aware, if we are practicing our purpose and consciously engaging all of ourselves using willingness, is we transform darkness into light. We transform the things that aren't working into something else. We transmute our lives. We transmute fears into excitement. We transmute beliefs that no longer serve us into beliefs, reframing them into beliefs that do serve us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I've been working on that for a very long time, and all of us are. This particular process is required in our lives. Whether we're aware of it or not is another question, but it is a required. This is a required course. And so
yes, I hear you at that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so the graduation is when you go, I believe, when you go to the next plane, the next level, is the graduation of the soul. And that's really what I get that we're doing. But I do see that people drop out, just like they drop out of school. And some of the souls that I have met on the other side had dropped out from their experience, in their joy, in their light, and dropped out. And so they got stuck, and it feels like a sticky place.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I'm sure you must have seen that too, is that you are meeting a spirit that didn't know its own light.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those that, of course, didn't know it. And those are the ghosts that they do these paranormal shows about that didn't know they even died. And they're still in the war, you know.
Well, like the one you saw last weekend in the house.
Oh, I know. That was really wild.
And
so I really get, like, if they died during a trauma, like an accident or a sickness, and they just died, and they did not get that this happened to them, and they were very attached to this plane, this particular, you know, form that they inhabited, they really don't move out. And that is so fascinating to me. But I do get that this is our journey as spiritual beings, is to get ready for the to ascend, you know, and to experience it while we're in the body. I mean, that's why we meditate. That's why we do all these workshops that take us deeper into the emotions, and so that we can clear house, clean up all the stuff that stops us from getting how bright and beautiful we really are.
You know? We are love. That is what
we are love. And to me, that is ultimately the truth, isn't it? Love is very nondescript to me. It doesn't really, you know, you can try to put it into words, but it really doesn't have a
a form. It just is. It's who you are,
right.
You know.
And when you consider the babies love. Babies love.
Oh.
Babies know love. They recognize love, and they cannot survive without love.
Yeah.
Love is who and what we are. It is the food that feeds our soul. A lot of people, though, get confused about what love is. That was a pertinent point, in my opinion. They think a lot of people can say that sex is love or romance is love. I'm talking about agape or, you know, philia, the kind of love that the parent has for the child, that unconditional love that's tolerant, that is pervasive, that can carries on in nurturing and in nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. And so when we're experiencing ourselves in something that is less than love, resentment, anger, fear, any of that, we have an opportunity to draw upon what we are and transform that in our lives. And there are a plethora of tools for that.
Yeah, this is what I really am grateful for you, because tonight's show is all about some tools. We can only go probably into one that Jessica uses to help you move out and understand, because where you're at. And I love that, you know, in a sense she's using her gift of intuitive and also education on this matter to kind of get you to move past it in a very, I thought it was a very easy way. I thought it was very easy and it was very profound, and it was like, yep, there it was and there it goes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it was
right.
Great, and I really liked that, what we did when we were playing around. But whatever you are going to feel is appropriate for anyone that's calling tonight, feel free to help them help themselves, because to me that's ultimately what we're here to do, is to be teachers of something that will just remind them that they don't have to stay stuck in any place that they don't like to be in, you know?
Right.
And that
right.
The mind is a very pliable and erasable thing, which is lovely, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's what we forget, that if it got in there, it can get out.
Right.
And if words are stuck, they can be erased. And if a feeling is getting stuck, it can be erased. So what we have to then, yeah, and replace. I love that. And so we have to start to be to reboot ourselves, in a sense. If we have gotten programmed through our lives that, you know, we were told you were this and that and blah, 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 and all that crap. And to me, if it's stuck in there somewhere and it is a form of your belief system that has kept you, in a sense, unhappy or not fulfilled as a spiritual being, then we have to go diving for the diamonds, I call them, because you're really going to have to dive sometimes deep to find these pieces that will set you free. And so we'll be talking more about that tonight. But I do see the phone lines lining up, so let's start taking some calls, okay? Mm-hmm. Jessica, you ready?
Yeah, ready.
Okay, let's take our first call. All right. Hi, who are we talking to? You're in Heart and Soul. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who am I talking to?
Hello there. Hi, this is Lena from Florida. How are you?
Hi, Lena. How are you?
Hi, Lena.
Hi.
Do you have anything you'd like to, I'd say, work out or just bring up and see what Jessica can come up with? She's very, very good at whatever you may want to ask a question about. So if you have like a formed question or something you'd like to work on, let's put it in her hands and see.
Yeah, I went to court today. I have a legal problem going on with an ex-husband of mine, and there's some. When I went to court, there was some confusion as far as the form that I submitted. So I was instructed to write the judge a letter because she wouldn't accept my form. So I'm just wondering.
So in other words, you went to court, but it did not finalize anything because of this form not being filled out. Okay.
No,
all
I,
right.
The people down at the courthouse was the one who helped me fill out the form. The judge thought I filled it out myself, and I didn't realize till afterwards, until I got out of the courtroom, that the people down at the courthouse, the lawyer at the courthouse, was the one who helped me. So, and she just totally humiliated me and told me that I didn't have any apprehension of the legal system and I need to stop filing motions, or she's going to have me pay my ex-husband's legal fees.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you were just up against other people's stuff then?
Oh, yeah. It's just been going on for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been submitting paperwork, and I've just been getting the runaround with the court system here because I don't have a lawyer. I've been representing myself, and they've been just really giving me the runaround. Instead of helping me, they're almost, it seems like they're more on my ex-husband's side because he's got a lawyer.
So, Lena, what I want to tell you is, did you hear what we'd said about love?
No, I didn't.
You didn't hear what we'd said? Okay. Love is who and what you are. And love is the great solution. It's the great solvent. And so when you go into the court, when you're in your daily process in life and you're dealing with things that are material and people that are, you know, have a certain mindset and it appears that there are tremendous limitations in life, what's very interesting is that love flows through these things like water or like steam, and it actually has a way of creating a solution that's almost magical. And the reason it isn't magical is because it's perfectly natural and perfectly normal. And so if things are being held up in court right now, this is your opportunity to really shift into from your perception of the limitation. It's okay that you have that perception, but if you can shift into a higher perception, if you can meditate, if you can start studying love, reading about love, and working with the love that you already are, that exists already inside of you, you're going to start seeing some seemingly miraculous changes that happen on your behalf. And they come out of, you know, out of left field, really. The important part is that you have free will. And so it's really important for you to focus that and surrender that to your, if you will, your higher power, which is love. And I'm not talking about romance. I'm talking about the part that is unconditional, that sees beauty, that sees awe, that experiences awe. Do you know the part of you that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is your opportunity. If things are stuck right now and it's taking a long time to go through its process, then you have a little bit of time leverage right now, and it's an opportunity for you to really focus your attention not on the things that hurt, not on the things that are stuck, but on the love in your life. And if you can really bring all of your focus to the love in your life and look at what blessings you have and work on your gratitude and stay in that space and just allow that to take over, the solutions in the world, the solutions, the miracles, the wonderful things that happen, they happen, if you will, in heaven. They happen in the upper spheres, in the higher vibrational planes where there is love. That is where you need to put your focus. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just right now I'm just a little, you know, I lost my unemployment 3 weeks ago after having been on it 3 years,
mm-hmm.
so I'm under a lot of stress financially and emotionally.
Right. So do you have support? Do you have emotional support? Do you have a group you go to or a therapist?
No.
You do? No, you don't? I can't hear you.
No, anymore. I don't. No, I don't.
Okay. Okay, so you know that there are groups you can go to that don't cost any money. There are 12-step groups. There are church groups. You know, you have people in your life. You have people. Is your mother still with you? Lena?
Hello? Lena? Well.
All done. We're all
okay.
done.
Okay. I think something happened there.
That was big
Maybe
homework.
She'll call. Oh,
that's
she'll call
homework.
Back. Mm-hmm. Okay, love. Yeah, but maybe she'll call back and
bless you,
we'll
Lena.
Take the next
bless
caller.
You.
But I'm sure she's listening and she
mm-hmm.
can re-listen to the show when she
love
does
is,
call.
Okay. It's the great
yeah.
solvent. It's the one that gets through, and people need to understand that. It does not know boundaries. Love does not
mm-hmm.
know boundaries. And I'm
but
not
I
talking
mean,
about
yeah, can you feel it? I'm gonna say this. Can you feel when the mind wants to win? And it's actually the deterrent. It does not allow for the person to go into the heart. It just is like this big, like, I almost see like a big block, and the mind is saying, no, I'm right. I'm the one that she is in control of this person. I'm going to, you know, I'm the one that she wakes up with and goes to sleep with. And that's what I'm feeling on an energetic level. And it does want to win. The mind wants to convince you of all its stories, in a sense.
I have some information about that. First of all, I want to say one last thing about Lena. Where I was going to go with her is that she has a maternal energy that's there, and I'm not sure if it might be someone in spirit or somebody in her life, but she's got somebody who's really there for her. Anyway, so regarding the mind and the heart, there's an organization called HeartMath, and they have found that electronically the heart is far more powerful than the mind. I'm sure that other scientific people have known this. HeartMath was published in the American Journal of Cardiology, and they're worldwide, and they teach people how to shift from the mind to the heart. And the mind is actually designed to be a servant of the heart. And the heart is actually far, far more powerful than the mind, electronically. So what you're describing about the mind saying, I'm in control and all of this, it's actually just a perception.
Yes, yes, right. So it is their perception. And I can see it. I can see that they have believed the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that the shift can and will happen. And it does take some work, I think, when the mind has been in control. So I love this. How could they go on the web and find this web page? Heart Math, M-A-T-H?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, great. I love it. So the more information we can give people to help them, the better. That's great, Jessica. Thank you. I mean, sometimes you know that the show is not enough time for them to do the work they have to do. So this is great information. So I do have one more. Let's take our second caller. Hi, Annette. How are you? Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to hear your voice. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
And yourself?
Oh, great, great. So do you have a question you'd like to go maybe bring forward for Jessica to see?
I would like to know, I'd like to see if she can pick up anything for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just in general?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right.
Really, I'm feeling a lot of clarity.
Oh, good.
I like that. A lot of clarity. There's a stillness. You've got somebody who wants to say hello. Somebody who's a little bit bashful, kind of sheepish. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm just getting a little hello, a little peep. What is your question?
I just wanted to, just something general.
Something general. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. You're doing actually relatively well. You know what you know.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh. You have spiritual capability. You are somebody who is very, very capable, and you're very connected with the Mother Earth.
Yes.
And you have a lot of skill in that way, more than you realize.
That's true.
Right. You have spiritual skill. You are actually somebody who does hear your guidance.
Yes.
But it's not your central focus. Your central focus is with the mother, which is right. I mean, that's wonderful, because we can, that little sheepish one that peeped in is entertaining. That's very sweet. That's not your primary guide. Your primary guide is I am. And I am is the church that you see when you go to the woods, or you go to the lake, or this is the presence that is there, that is within and without as well. You have this natural ability to tune into this. You're also very solid in what's going on. You know what you know. I don't know a better way to say that, but you didn't come here really particularly with a question. You already are kind of almost set in the ways, but it's not in a bad way. It's more like you have all the information that you need. You're fine. You might be a little bit bored, but you're fine. And what's interesting, too, though, there is a little bit of a in addition to this, there's a little add-on that I want to say this. You've got a little bit of, I don't know if I want to call it imbalance or insecurity or growth. There's a, we'll call it a growth. There's a spiritual growth that's also going on inside of you. There's a little bud of love, mm-hmm. like a little sweetness. You know, your inner child is, is very vulnerable, not in a bad way, but there's this new, it's as if you are denuded more to yourself, and you are exploring on a very subtle way, a very subtle level,
mm-hmm.
Possibilities and hope. That's what I'm looking for. You've got a little bit of hope going on,
yeah.
maybe a little, like a sweetheart kind of a hope or
yes.
something. This is what I'm getting. Did you have more questions?
I think you've touched on a lot of things, because when I look at myself, I see in a lot of ways confusion. Where am I going? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the urgency of the Earth right now. That's what's going on. Earth is being born. She's being born into a new higher level. We're in a transition, and it's a very uncomfortable transition.
Yes.
There's a lot going on, and people don't generally have a lot of skill with transition. They just sort of endure it. You know, most people run away from skills.
Yes.
They run away from therapy. They run away from telling their truth and, you know, being vulnerable and all that sort of thing. But you're also a very solid person, and your purpose right now is just to be solid in who you are.
See, you're saying, it's interesting about what you're saying, and that's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to know what you were picking up, because I wasn't sure what I'm feeling. I lost my sister Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
She passed
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has, I wouldn't say it has thrown me into depression or anything, but it's really made me kind of step back and say, what's really
mm-hmm.
important to you?
Mm-hmm, right, and that's what death does. The bell tolls for you. Death and grief have a way of revealing the quick that we normally conveniently do not look at. We go on, we get caught up in the minutiae, the daily activities, the weather, or the drama at work, or whatever it is, or the not having work, or, you know, whatever's going on. But grief and death have a way of just really pulling us back to center, whether we like it or not, whether we want to be or not. Now, with her, that was not who I saw peeking in and saying hello.
Exactly, I didn't think so.
No, that's more like a, I mean, it was almost like a little squirrel, like you had a pet or something. No, with your sister, she's resting.
Okay.
Sometimes when somebody passes, what they do is they go into a rest state right mm-hmm. after they pass away. It's just kind of, you know, regrouping, if you will, spiritually regrouping.
Yes.
But I'm definitely picking up that she's, it's like a very deep nap, you know, where you fall deeply asleep and it's a peaceful, dreamless sleep.
Yes.
And she's okay. She's in a lot of peace right now, but she's definitely recuperating.
Yes, because it's interesting that you say that, and it's becoming emotional for me now that you say that.
It's okay, you do that, you cry.
I was sensing that from her. I was sensing, I'm like, it's almost like she's not aware as to what happened.
She's not aware, and she almost, it's almost like she has a do not disturb sign, but she doesn't. You have access.
Yes.
But right now, it's time to just keep things quiet and respect the rest. That's all. But your job, though, is to cry those tears.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And write. You need to write. I'm hearing now you've got, now I'm seeing there's an angel, you have a guardian angel coming and says, dear, you need to write. You need to write about this. Pages and pages and pages and pages. And really feel those feelings and remember who you are and do a mirror process. Look in the mirror. Look to yourself in the eye and say, I love you and I believe in you.
Right. Right. Again, it's so interesting that you're picking up these qualities and these essence about me, because what you're seeing, I'm thinking opposite. I'm thinking that I'm confused. I'm thinking that I don't know where I want to go. I don't know what I want to do. And you're just picking up the opposite of that.
You do know. This is not a time to go someplace.
Right.
This is time to sit down and cry. Right. This is a time to be present. And who is your deity? Do you have a deity in your life? Who do you believe in?
That's interesting. No, I don't. You're right. I don't.
Okay. It would be very helpful.
Okay.
If you did that, if you connected with somebody. Sai Baba is one of our favorites. I happen to really love Jesus, Holy Spirit. If it's going out into the forest and feeling the presence there, whatever it is, again, this is time. This is like what I was saying a minute ago with somebody else, that it's really time to be loving, to take every bit of who and what you are and focus your free will into love.
Okay.
This is an opportunity. You're in a transition, but you're sitting still, and nothing about you is changing while you're in this transition because it's grief. So there's this river that's flowing through you. You know, in Africa, they have these wailing houses.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been, but mm-hmm. women go and wail, and they cry, and they get together, and they just let it fly.
Yes.
And we don't really do that here.
Right.
We're more, you know, we're more oppressive with our emotions, but
yes.
It's important. And grief is really important to remember. Grief decides when you're going to cry, and grief
yes.
decides when you're done. And it's like the waves of the ocean where the grief goes away, and then you think you're fine and you're done, and then, oh, it's time to cry again, you know, and then
yes.
it goes away and it comes back.
Yes.
So, right.
That's
and
how
this
I feel. I'm in that
mm-hmm.
way, in
mm-hmm.
that flow.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when I feel like, you know, I just didn't, my sister's still here, but then there are moments where it's like it'll come in and it's like, no, she's gone.
Well, your sister and you are the same.
Yes.
So she now resides in you as you. You and she are the same from the
right.
same cluster. And so you're always going to be able to connect with her.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And, yeah.
So I'm doing okay.
You're doing what you need to be doing. You need to be in grief. You need to be in process. You're.
Okay.
This is transition. This is a transitional time. And we're a lot more aware and feeling than we realize we are.
Right.
We're a lot more influenced and affected by others in our midst than we realize we are. You know, by things that are going on, by planetary energies. The light is coming in. And if we aren't down with the light, then we're going to be experiencing a little discomfort because we've been avoiding that, whatever that was. The light is now shining, and it's so obvious. You know, you hear the analogy of, well, if you've got monsters in your basement, go in and turn the lights on. Well, then you see the monsters. We don't want to look at our monsters.
Right.
Okay, so your grief. So let me guess that there is a fear of being alone now?
Yes, I haven't been
mm-hmm.
able to actually sleep since her death.
Mm-hmm.
And I sleep with a light on, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, why am I afraid?
Mm-hmm. So fear is a gift in that if we breathe into our fear, eventually it transforms into excitement.
Hmm.
And joy and excitement are kind of the same thing.
Okay.
Now, you know, so if you breathe into your fear, and if you call in love. You have free will. You can call in universal love to envelop you, to shield you, to bless you, to infuse you, to facilitate you through this process. We are transmuters. This is what we have. This is why we have free will, because we have the opportunity to transmute things. So if you're feeling fear and if you're feeling aloneness, you need to take that free will and create, just like with this other lady I was talking about, you need to get support going for yourself. But really, got to take that bull by the horns and call in that love and breathe and feel those emotions and embrace it. You're not alone.
Okay.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annette, for calling.
Thank
I will
you.
Keep a high vision for you.
Please
I
do.
Know, you know, I Annette is one. She, every time she's called in, she's
oh,
just a beautiful light. I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting because, you know, of course, Jessica didn't know, and she was right on the money
yes.
with what she was picking up. So I just
oh, absolutely.
Know. You know, I did get a name. I don't know what Jean just kept coming to me.
Mm.
Maybe it is someone that you will be meeting. It feels like it's a person that will be like a good friend, you know, that's going to be coming to you. I don't feel like it's someone you know already. So the word, the name Jean just kept coming up for me. So I know it was for you. So I'm going to give you that to, okay, to be aware of. And, you know, when I remember, because I lost my husband, when you are in grief, you just feel very vulnerable to every little thing. You know, even every experience that you have, it's very crisp. You remember the time the call came in. You remember,
yes,
if everything kind of moves in slow motion.
Yes.
You know, and in fear, I do remember sleeping and feeling like this. I was in between the thoughts of my husband, and I would go where he was, and then I was trying to live in this dimension too. And because you are pretty perceptive and spiritual, in a sense, you may be connecting to other dimensions that you haven't been familiar with, you know, and they are scary when you first go there. It's like, oh, wow, do I really want to go here, you know? So a lot of times, you know, you stand behind the door,
yes,
until you feel comfortable enough to open it. And I just think that's where you're at right now, you know?
I think so, too, because I'm like, why am I afraid? What is the fear here?
Oh, I remember that. I really do. And the more that you get deeper and more expanded, the more you don't understand some things that you're feeling, you know? When I first started to do readings and I started opening up this other dimension within my sight, I remember being a little afraid at night. I remember just having to have a light on because I felt very vulnerable. And so what I would recommend, and I say this in a loving way, is put the shield of love, because that is your greatest protector, is love, that vibration, that intense light. So visualize that around you and protecting you. So that you, and then also, I want you to see any doors that you might have opened that you're not ready to open, because I feel like you opened one that was a big dark door, it feels like, because you had to deal with your family again, and a lot of emotions started pulling you through that door again. So I want you to shut the door, okay? Because it's one piece at a time, like Jessica. We're one thing at a time. You take it out, you look at it, you deal with it, you address it, you understand it, and then you can put it away. But if it's all flooding at you at once, of course it becomes a fear. You know, it's overwhelming. So I get that. So just, I'm going to do that for you so you can shut that down there.
Thank you.
And there's one other thing I wanted to address with you, is to remember your physical body, to remember to drink your water and to take walks and to be sure and take time, have respite from the grief and go to joyful places. Go where people are loving. Go where things are happy and joyful.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right. You're so right, because I'm planning on doing that Saturday when the weather gets a little bit better. And I'm just feeling that I need to get out more. I need to start walking more. I need to really connect with nature more. Because there's something here. There's something here for me that will change my life. Through my sister's death, I feel that, you know, I feel a sense of life.
Birth. You grab hold of your own life because you realize how fleeting it is, and that we're all, you know, she just left before you, you know, her ticket was, you know, before you, and that's all that I know. So I can't be sad over that, because I do know that wherever she is, we will all be meeting and recycling through again. So I know that. So that to me isn't a fear, is not a fear of my spirit to go there. I just know that we're all going. So I get that, but it does remind us to live it, to really say, well, gee, what haven't I done? You know, if this was my last day, would
right
I,
there.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I got that, you know.
Right.
And my husband, who was aware that he was sick and dying, we sat down and he said, Patty, look, I'm going to go. I don't want you to stop your life. I don't want you to, you know, be, you know, waiting, you know, a year. Like, I would just go out there and have fun. And find someone to love and have a child and do everything that you want to do. And imagine having a conversation with someone like that. But it was on the dimensional level that I think I've never experienced with another human, that this was the knowing that we both had.
Exactly.
So,
And so I get that, that that's where you're, it, this represents this for you because she was your sister. She's not older. She's, you know, she's just like, you know, closely, you know, connected. So we do have to see it that way too. And, you know, and what would be like to always, I mean, I love the Buddhists. They say that when you hug somebody, you should always hug them with the knowing that this is the last time you'll see them.
Wow. Wow.
And I do that. I really do that. And I give, and I get that a lot because maybe it's been so present in my life. And I get that, that the love that you exchanged, let it be as big and as powerful as you could possibly give to everyone that you meet, even if it's someone in the market that you just happen to say hello to. I mean, it's just that something I get. So that you are full, they are full, and it is this great, in a sense, meeting and goodbye, you know? Mm. And so if we lived it like it was, like that today was, I think you didn't hear the beginning of the show. I don't know if you did, but I did see this man. He's driving around California with this, like, end of the world,
oh, the
of May 21st. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, yeah. And so really this is great that you brought this up because this is the joy that we have to get a hold of that moves us every minute. That, you know, that is really what we're all trying to get a hold of and to keep very sound in our existence so that it doesn't get moved around by what people say or what you thought or any of it. Because the center of you, the very core, the very essence is this amazing love and joy that's just there all the time. It doesn't go away, you know?
Okay.
It there's nothing. And my feeling is your sister, when she passed through, finally got to experience that, this letting go, you know, this beauty that she, you know, she moved into. Yeah. So, you know, it's what we're afraid of, but, you know, for everyone that I've ever talked to, and I do talk to lots of people who have had life experiences where they died and they came back, they all say they didn't want to come back.
Wow.
Every single one of them said that it was so beautiful and so peaceful and so loving that they didn't want to come back. So, you know, that's what I know. That's truly what I know. And if that can enter your soul, if that's the truth, then you really will just be glad for her, in a sense, in the sense that she's relieved of any more duty on this planet. Yeah, it's true.
Yes, that's very true, because I do feel that. I feel that, you know, she's with us. She she's watching over us. She'll be there to guide her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she gets to see her cat again that she loves. And she gets to see grandma.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and from that perspective, and like if you could be the bird, you know, looking down, and I kind of think of spirit that way, that they are now in a much more accessible place to affect the people and that they love than they ever were. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh. Beautiful.
Blessings in that. It's all good. I will keep the high vision for you so that, you know, this is a good place that you'll enter into. And so I really get that grief is when, you know, I remember it's like you're breaking open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I hear people say, oh, my heart is breaking. Yeah, it really is. It's breaking open.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so no, that's true. Okay, that's
so consciousness, character consciousness develops when we are bearing the tension between opposite forces.
Mm-hmm.
So you're growing.
Really?
This is actually a growth experience. Grief is always a growth experience. And so the question is, again, the bell tolling for you. What is it in your life that you would regret not having done if you left on Saturday and you didn't get it done? Or what is it in your life that you would be so proud of having accomplished in your life?
Mm-hmm.
What is your function? What is your purpose? Those are your questions. But be present with that and honor that grief. Be with that. Cry those tears. It's really important that you let that flow.
Beautiful.
I agree, yeah.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you so much
for your show tonight.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Bless you.
Blessings to you both. God bless.
Bless you. Wow. Okay. Hi, you're in Heart and Soul. Who are we talking to?
740.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Okay. Well, the funny thing is that the question that was on my mind was I was daydreaming about travel, but it wasn't really about my traveling to you know, like my vacation spot that we had decided on, because I don't do much traveling, actually. But I've been having this nagging thing, if I want to call it a thing, about traveling. And I don't know what it's all about. I'm growing spiritually. I'm growing in a lot of different areas. I do feel really good right now. I'm in a good place. Things are going well. I do own a business.
And what was your name?
I didn't know if it was.
We didn't get your name.
We didn't get your name. What was it?
Oh, good.
Did you get her name, Jessica?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't either. Was it Maggie?
I was just kind of curious as to, with this whole traveling thing, is it something to do spiritually or I don't know. I don't know what this whole travel thing is.
Okay, I apologize. I need to grab your attention for a moment. Can I have your attention?
I'm thinking about taking like a whole month off. This is just a weird, wacky thing that is nagging at me. I want to be like,
can you hear us?
Get away from all my responsibilities. Not because I don't love my life. It's not that at all. It's that I want to grow spiritually. And I want to take this a month and journal. But I've never, ever had a thought to do something like this before. I don't even know where it came from.
Oh.
And I want to journal.
We want to understand the point.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, well, maybe it's just about only relying on spirit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else. And I want to journal what happens in that month. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's something that's really going to happen. Is it going to really happen? Will I really do this? Because I think it's a wacky thought for me to have this thought.
I don't think it's a wacky thought, but who are you? what's your first name? We didn't even get it, so we want to connect with you. So what is your first name? Because we didn't hear it.
Okay.
So.
Make it all the racket.
Yeah. What's your first name, Les? Or what should we call you? Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
My name is Lori.
Lori. Okay, Lori.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. That's all we wanted, just because we didn't get it, and we wanted to just connect with you. That's okay, Lori. Let's let Jessica maybe just kind of pull some cards and see what the direction Spirit is taking you into. Maybe answer some questions for you, okay?
Awesome.
It's very,
awesome.
Very interesting because you basically already answered your question.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
How did I already answer my question?
Lori, you were saying that it's about spiritual growth.
It is about spiritual growth. You're
absolutely.
Exactly right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got some things that... you've got some things that you dream about accomplishing. You've got some processes that are underway. This is so silly because really these kinds of comments could fit to anybody, but this is what's coming through from me to you. You're just about to finish some stuff. There's a bit of closure, and you actually have a lot of clarity. And you, again, people know a lot more than they realize or recognize that they know. But everything is on the table, and if you would just get centered, you can see. If you would just breathe down into your body and feel the floor beneath you and spend some time doing that and trust yourself, you already have that answer, and you gave the answer within your question. Yes, this is about spiritual growth. It is about being present with your strengths. You're somebody
mm-hmm.
who has tenacity. You have a lot of strength, and you also have a lot of internal resource. So you know the answer. You already know your answer. There is some unfinished business that's coming to closure. You're going to be leaving a few things behind in your life. But the reality of the matter is that the idea of travel is that there are new things. You know, whenever you have a closure of one process, you've got new processes coming. So
mm-hmm.
absolutely, you've got a new beginning that's coming. And I don't really necessarily get that it's an actual physical travel. However, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
There's something wonderful about travel, and I'm not talking about tourism. I'm talking about going out and traveling with a backpack, someplace you're unfamiliar with, I traveled alone in Central and South America. And, you know, we read about trusting the universe and we read about stepping into the space just before us and just living from one moment to the next. But in the comfort of the familiarity of home, it's really
difficult
a stark contrast.
To do that.
Well, it's a stark contrast to we do it, but we do it completely differently. When we're out in a country where we don't speak the language or we don't speak the language well, we don't know anybody, and we really have to trust our spirit and we really have to be more aware and watch our surroundings and connect with people we've never met and we'll never see again, there is a whole different level and experience of spiritual growth to where I'm sensing that when I say you've got the clarity and you know, you're not really necessarily in agreement with me. But actually, if you were if you were to go into another country or if you were to travel to some, in some place that's unfamiliar, you would recognize that clarity I'm speaking about.
Well, that is, I think, the stepping out of the boat thing for me. That is one thing that it may sound all good in my mind that maybe that's why I've been thinking about that or why it's for me to depend on me or my, like you were, my inner strength. And not to be needing my significant other or my business partner in with business. You know, it's all about listening to my own inner self and growing in
spirit.
That.
Drawing from your own spirit, because you're very much a head-level person, and I'm asking you to drop down into who you are and what you are. And you can use your body with this, breathing, you know, feeling the ground, walking barefoot across a cold lawn, you know, that sort of thing that brings you out of that head level, out of that intellectualizing habit. That's where you're comfortable. But it's, and I'm not necessarily asking that you become uncomfortable, but that you practice something totally different. You know, somebody invited me to go and take Zumba, and I don't want to do it because I'm great with ballroom, something very formal and stiff, you know, but Zumba where I'm wiggling my arms around, I'm a total klutz. That's uncomfortable for me. I'm asking you to do something like that, that's very physical and very spiritual in a very pragmatic kind of a sense, if that makes any sense. I don't mean spiritual like, you know, consulting, you know, going to the church or hearing somebody reading for you like we are, but I mean you, of your own accord, going and taking your journal and walking down the street in some place completely unfamiliar and following your heart.
See, and I've never, ever done that before. I'm a great talker, but I am not the most fantastic listener.
Right, you're an intellectualizer. You're an intellectualizer.
I analyze everything.
And that's not a bad thing, but there's this whole other universe out there of feeling your way through.
I would like to experience that. I mean, on a more regular basis. And I think I'm the type of person that is going to have to actually go and physically do that. That's why I guess I had that thought of like 1 month, just 1 month to get a real feel of it, to be away from everything and just say, okay, where am I going to go? I'm going to put gas in the tank, a full tank of gas, $100 and some food, and I'm going to just, wherever I feel that I'm guided, listen and rely on me and see what happens and see what connections, what paths you cross and journal each and every day and the moments throughout the day that seem significant or even insignificant. I think it's just I need to do it physically. Do you think that there's going to be real travel or is it going to be just something that I'm just going to let go by?
I don't think they're just going to let it go.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, my God, it's not going to leave me alone, is it?
No.
I need it for the understanding.
Lori, why would you not take on? You'll always have
obligations.
You know what? You're going to have obligations when you come back, too. So why not just go?
Oh, absolutely.
Carpe diem.
It's leaving the obligations, I guess.
Carpe diem. You're an organized. Well, you have ability with organizing. You can set this up. Carpe diem.
The thing is, it will, you know, this is something I think you have to realize that this, the 11th that we're in right now is about acceleration, a spiritual acceleration, and also urgency. So it's more about.
Oh, I've been saying that word a lot.
Yeah, a lot. So you feel like you have to do something. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure everybody's out there saying, I'm here, what am I supposed to do? And it feels like a little bit of, like, stress. but it's more that the spiritual...
It's anxiety, excitement, but a driven feeling from the inside, like you just feel driven. And it's just unbelievable. I've not been in this place.
And the leaving what pulls you is where, you know, what your obligations are telling you to do. So you have been kind of stuck in this pattern. And so the spirit is trying to move you out of that pattern and into your heart and out of your mind and into a place where what you used to do and what you always do is going to change. And in the change... There will be great peace. And to me it feels like your soul is needing a rest. Your internal soul, the one that's really deep in there. When I check into it, I feel like I've been in my head, like we were talking about, that heart math might be of service for you. There's a webpage that Jessica was just talking about, is really being able to reteach your mind to go to the heart and let it be the very thing that you are always in tuned into, okay? And so when you're in your heart, there's not a lot of words. Really,
right.
Absolutely. It's very peaceful. And even, like, the thought of a journal when you're in your heart is kind of, like, useless. Because you're not in your mind, you know. You're not in your mind, and you don't need to write it because you're just so in that peaceful place that you want to exist
in. And that's kind of... like when you're helping someone, because I'm so into people, and what I do on a daily basis is, I mean, people come, I have a tea room, and it's a very spiritual place. I mean, it's just hurting people, broken people. They get to talk, we laugh, hopefully they leave feeling better than when they came. And it's really not about selling stuff and having this beautiful little boutique and a tea room. It's about the people. And that's why I'm there, and I know it. But it gets to the point where it's like, oh, I carry all of their burdens. I carry all, you know, and they leave hopefully feeling better. And then I feel like, wow, you know, I'm exhausted because I take on everything.
Naughty. That's something that you, okay, like I was saying before, what we do here is we transmute. We're transmuters, okay? So there are things you can do to take that burden that you took on and transmute it into love. But really the secret is not taking it on at all. Every massage therapist has to learn this. You can't take on people's energy. It can be karmic for you. It can hurt them. It can hurt you. But if you love them, if you call in love and unconditional universal love and just be the fire hose and blast them with it, people love that. It's good for you. It keeps you nice and clean. The energy is flowing through you, and then you're not taking it on because that's naughty, naughty. It'll exhaust you. It'll burn you out. But if you do it the other way, you're going to go ahead and cleanse yourself, and you'll have more joy and more energy and more strength, and you're going to also have more business.
Well, one thing I do notice, though, that this unconditional love does come out. I just feel like I just want to surround them with love. And I mean, I can just, I don't have to be talking about it. I can just feel that flowing. You know, out of me.
So if you're taking it on, just keep going, keep blasting. If you take on their muck, then you then you need to practice a little bit more being the fire hose and let that universal love flow through you and not take on their muck. They don't want you to take on their muck anyway.
Right.
I mean, they might even think that they do, but they don't. We just want to be who we are, and who we are is love. We're shimmering little. We're like the little flame in a little tea light candle. That is what we look like. That's the spark. And so anything that is less than that or other than that or different than that is not really who we are. And so we get to just be love. And what happens with that is that we bring forth the joy of the universe. That is what we are. Who we are is love. What we are is joy. And when we are expressing that, then you have material prosperity. You're a happy person, and you're blessing those who are around you. That is the natural order of the universe.
And I've been noticing that more and more with the shift. I was frustrated and I was a little angry with community and all of that. But I have totally shifted out of that, and I can just feel, I'm feeling the love. I really am. But I also am feeling this nudge to travel. Even if it's just 1 month, of depending on what's inside of me and not, like you said, in my head. And that's exciting. I just didn't know if that was a real thing or if it was just some kind of, I don't know.
Well, you're the creator.
We want to.
Yeah.
You're the creator.
That's what I'm getting. But I do get that you know this already, and that's what Jessica was picking up on, too. And when spirit is loud and clear, like they are being with you about this, almost seeing it ahead of itself, you know, feels like you already know what you want to do. You want to get in the car, you want to put the gas, you want to go. And it's already showing you the path that they are hoping you take.
It's just a scary thing for me.
Is it scary, really? Oh, it sounds
exciting
to me.
It's adventurous, but it's like, oh, my gosh.
Well,
you
again,
know,
this
could
is
I
that
really
opportunity.
Do that?
This is that opportunity to breathe. You breathe into fear, and it transforms to excitement.
Yeah. So true.
Little...
Well, that's why people can bungee jump.
Oh, gosh, not this
You know,
girl.
They can do it because they transform their fear into excitement. And that's a pure vision of doing that. So, you know, what
true.
It could be is that you get in your car, you fill up the tank, and instead of plot it out for a month, you just do it for the day. And you just put that hat on, that vibe on, that says, okay, I'm going to go someplace new today. And I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to arrive and be quiet and write. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to go someplace I really, you know, and do it for one day.
That would take me a while.
Well, you know, I mean, okay, not the beach. But I'm saying, you know, go to a place you've yet to go before that, you know, that the car, in a sense, takes you. And just let spirit take you. And say, oh,
but
that,
you know,
no,
I gotta say, I am seeing beach. I mean, there's
something
about the
that.
Soft,
soft beach.
Air.
Now, how far is the beach for you? Could you go to a beach?
Well, I'm in Ohio, so
Ohio.
Hard to come by.
That's a good.
Yeah,
hop on a plane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, though, I am going to be going to the beach here in 2 weeks. So,
that is
a scheduled thing.
All right.
So there we go.
There you go. The beach was coming there.
Yeah.
I did see water around you. So, you know, there are, and this is something I could offer information because I've been to them before. There are ashrams, they call them. There's one in Grass Valley, California. It's called Yogananda. There's one in California. There's a Yogananda there, too. And they're retreat centers. You can just go. They're very reasonable. You know, probably $50 a night. And that includes the food, which is awesome. And you just go there, and they have yoga in the morning, and it's just a place to be quiet and to journal. A lot of people go to write books, and when I was there were people from all over the world, and some went for a month, some went for 3 months, you know. They were going to go to a retreat, and it may be something so that you don't have the fear of doing this so blindly. And that you have this sense that when I get there, I'll be taken care of, and I don't have to think of anything, and I don't even have to drive. And when I went to these workshops and in ashrams, when you leave there, you almost forget how to drive because you've entered into a peaceful place that it's like the world outside just ceases to exist, and you just get to such a peaceful place.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So these are, you know, look under retreat centers. You know, maybe if you. That are close to you. I don't know about Ohio, but maybe the closest city to you may have one. But I highly recommend, because when I first started, when I was quite young, I went to a place in the Berkshires that was known for their workshops and everything. And that was my first experience of ever going to a retreat, and I was like in my 20s. And I remember thinking, I went by myself, and it was great. I mean, everyone was there. They had quiet eating, which is really interesting that you ate, and it was just quiet. Yeah, you can just really taste your food. And it was just this and at first, I have to admit, the quiet was overwhelmingly loud. You know, because we're used to filling up words and things and music and TV and all the stuff that we fill up our time, our quiet with, that it was interesting on how you finally got
into the groove of it after maybe about a week.
Mm.
So, yeah. I really get that, you know, if you could, this feels like a good thing for your spirit to do. It feels like it needs to do this. So how you can do it is to appease the sense of you that's afraid, but still do it anyway, you know?
Right.
And do it where it feels
right.
still safe to do it, but do it in an atmosphere
right.
that's a little bit structured that may be easier to just
right.
say, you know, I can go there and I can do this. And so look
yeah,
at the yoga
I like
nasa.
That.
Yeah, yeah, do this. I think this is a time for you to do this. Might take,
awesome.
Feels like a while to organize your life
mm-hmm.
so that you can go for a couple of weeks, but you could do it a couple of weeks and then go back and do it again, do the second
you can
week.
Do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can definitely do this. Yeah.
You've got it.
That's
you
awesome.
This.
Absolutely.
Awesome. But you have to see
awesome.
That it's possible, you know, and think that the mind
mm-hmm.
is, I hear the mind trying to grab hold of reasons why this could not be. It would be scary, and it's trying to grab hold. So that your spirit is speaking louder than your mind right now, and I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Jessica
mm-hmm.
can too. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, it is exciting. Thank you
it
so
is.
Much for your time, and
yeah.
hopefully it helps someone else. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Have a good night.
God bless.
Bye. Hi, you're in Heart and Soul. Who are we talking to? Hello? Hi, it's a 310.
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm despondent.
Despondent?
I'm not really in a good place right now.
What is your name?
Vince.
Vince.
Yeah.
Vince.
Okay, then.
And I'm calling from L.A.
L.A., guys. Well,
tell me
Jessica.
About despondency. Tell me about this. Sorry.
Well, I've been out of work for a long time, and I keep going, I keep getting called in for all these jobs that I've applied for aptitude tests and everything, and sometimes I pass, but then I don't get hired. Somebody else gets hired. Or sometimes I can't pass. And the last three, I had a job interview over the phone, and then I had an interview in person and an aptitude test, and I passed for a glass company. I didn't get the
mm-hmm.
job. Somebody else did. Then
mm-hmm.
I went for a tire company job. Someone
mm-hmm.
I passed the test and everything. Someone else got the job. Today
mm-hmm.
I went for a job testing at a bleach company. And
mm-hmm.
I just got an email saying that I did not meet the requirement, I didn't pass the test. And this keeps happening, and I've run out of unemployment, I've run out of money, I've run out of time, I've run out of everything, and I'm about to be evicted. I don't know what's going on and what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is, go ahead.
I was going to say, the only thing that I'm looking forward for is I've got two settlements coming from two different lawsuits from former employers, and I don't
mm-hmm.
even know if that's going to be enough to keep me going for
mm-hmm.
For how long. And I don't know when that money is coming, and that's coming soon, but I'm desperate right now.
Well, you are in good company, that's for sure, and I don't mean that with lightness. These are the times we're in, and the average job hunt, and I'm talking about actual labor hours where you're making the faxes, you're making the phone calls, you're interviewing, not waiting for the call to be returned, but actual labor time. The average investment of time into looking for and trying to acquire a job is 400 hours, and that's if you're somebody who is not disabled. That's if you are somebody who is desirable and you have a good resume and all of that. You know,
right.
These are the times. And there are resources out there. I'm not sure if you've looked into that, if you've looked into where you can get food boxes and that sort of thing. Have you done that?
No, I've gone. Here's the problem. I've gone to, I went to the welfare to get food stamps and maybe start getting some welfare help pay the rent. And they've denied me because they say my wife makes too much. My wife makes about $1,200 take home a month, if
mm-hmm.
that even.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sick with lupus and breast cancer, so a lot of times she can't even make it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And our rent is like $1,330 alone. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
include any of our utility bills, anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for them to deny us, saying that we make too much, it's just out ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. It is, and a lot of people are not familiar with that, but that is the way that the things are done right now. It's kind of surprising because the amount that they expect you to live on is really just enough to keep you from dying, really. I mean, the government doesn't really want you to rely on the government, you know. And
I don't want to either, but
you know, no, of course not. And who would? But these are very interesting times that are intense, and you know, job acquisition is not what it used to be. This is true. What I'm seeing here is that you do, however, have currency, and I don't mean that necessarily in the money sense, but that there is a flow going on here. What's going on is frightening, but you're not clogged energetically, if that makes any sense. You actually have a lot of love flowing, and that sounds really silly to say in the face of what you're describing, because you're describing a very difficult situation. Your wife is very, very sick. And it's really could be said that that's a desperate situation. At the same time, it's always an opportunity. There's always opportunity in there to learn how to rely on your spirit. And I'm asking a lot of you when I say that. And that if you're not used to doing that kind of thing, it can be very, very frightening. I was a massage therapist for 23 years. People never paid me through the holidays. You know, they would cancel whenever if something happened to them financially. You know, if I didn't work, I didn't eat. And I learned to rely on my spirit to provide for me. And that is really, you're on the precipice of that. You're on the precipice of having to get down on your knees and say, the good, the providence of the universe is bestowed into my life, and I receive it. Openly and freely, I committedly receive the grace. The miracles come through into my life, and they bless me, and they bless my wife, and I humbly receive it. And that's a whole, you know, that's an unusual way to approach providence, but that's in many ways very much where you are. However, and it's, you know, I'm acknowledging that this can be a very frightening thing, what you're going through. But when I'm looking at your cards, the majority of your cards are joy and love, and you have consistency of good things in your life. You've got a lot of really good resources that are there in your life right now. In terms of people, in terms of love, and in terms of connections. The despondency is difficult to deal with. The way out of that is to tell the truth, to journal the truth, and I don't mean just the negative stuff, but the positive stuff too. Count your blessings. It's really, really important right now that you do that because you don't have time to mess around. Making sense?
Yeah, I mean, I keep asking and praying for my gods to help me get a job, get
mm-hmm.
something. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not like sitting on my butt all day just asking my God
right.
to do this for me and then hope that it's done. I'm out there doing things for myself, but I'm
right.
asking to guide me. And it's
right.
like this has been going on for 3.5 years now,
right?
And I can't get a break. The last break
right.
I got was last August. I finally got a job, and I took it out of desperation. It was like $9 an hour through
mm-hmm.
an employment agency.
Mm-hmm.
Then a week before Thanksgiving, they fired me because I found out that they placed another girl there doing the exact same job I was doing. I was training her, as a matter of fact, and I found out that she was making $5 more an hour than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And when I phoned to demand an explanation and also demand equal pay plus retro, they fired me saying that I violated a policy agreement that I signed saying that I would not discuss wages. Well, I know that's illegal, that they can't fire you for that, so I went to the labor board, and they have found them guilty, and I'm still waiting for the settlement now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know how long it'll be. It could be another
okay,
month.
Vince. Okay, so that's the story, and I believe
yeah.
you, okay? And I'm going to challenge you to do something. Remember that the mind cannot tell the difference between something imagined and something you're actually perceiving in your daily life. And so I'm going to challenge you to take 15 minutes every day at least one time and give thanks that the job had already been bestowed upon you and see yourself being relieved that these bills are being paid and being relieved that things are beginning to flow again and you can go out and buy that extra whatever it is, the chocolate cake or whatever that you would right now maybe go, oh, God, I'd love to have that, but I just can't spend money. You know, spend take some time and practice with your mind visualizing that it's already been given to you. The distress that you are describing to me right now, the despondency, step out of it and give yourself a mental, intellectual vacation from it. And this is not easy to do. You can do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
We do this all the time naturally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We see a commercial on television with that big juicy cheeseburger or that whatever it is that, you know, the chocolate or the thing that, you know, the beautiful woman or whatever. And the imagination does go into that. So everybody here that has called in, what I'm seeing is that they need to take the bull by the horns and start, you know, directing their little bicycle, because we can. And it's just an imagination exercise. It's just a mental exercise in which we feel the relief that it's come. And we give thanks because, again, these things are created in heaven. They're not created on earth. So your higher power makes this stuff happen. So we give thanks that it was already done. It's already been given. Thank you so much. I finally got the job. I'm so happy, and it's a good job, and it's the right placement. Oh, I'm so relieved. Thank you.
Okay, so do you see me getting something else anytime soon? Do you see me working, or am I just going to end up losing everything being on the streets? Because right now I can't even give thanks to pay my bills, because I'm already over three-quarters of a month behind rent this month. June's coming up. I'm not going to have any money for rent at all for that, and they're not going to put up with much longer. You know, I can't even afford to go out and buy any tomatoes right now, for example,
mm-hmm.
even one tomato.
Mm-hmm.
But every penny that I have on me, I have to save in case I need it for the buses to get around,
mm-hmm.
In case there is, in case I'm fortunate enough to be called in for another job, which I'm going to lose anyway, somebody
mm-hmm.
else. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Wow. Okay, let's erase that. Let's erase that thinking
mm-hmm.
there, Vince. You're not going to
mm-hmm.
go from, you can't go anywhere but where you believe you're going to go to. Okay, I think I hear Jessica saying, so why don't we believe in the biggest picture and the best scenario and the best thing that could be happening? If we can do that more, what happens is you have like wiggle room. The energy around you can start to move into a better direction. I get what I can feel it. It's around you. When I look at you, it's like this
mm-hmm.
ball of energy that's
mm-hmm.
just stuck in your head. And
you're
the
believing.
Story is saying it's not going to change. I can't get the job. I'm not. It's all the
but
cancer.
But it's actually not too late. You can
yeah,
actually
it's not
move
too
this.
Late.
You
yeah.
can actually move this energy and turn it around. But you've got to stop believing the story that you're seeing. And it's very real. This is
I know,
real.
It's real.
But there's
yeah.
another real.
There is
another
real Vince.
Real.
And the real Vince, the real one is, yes, you will get the job. It is coming. And the money that if you called your lawyer who's taking care of the case and you said, I need an extension, he's going to give it to you. And you're going to say, oh, that was easy. And the money will be there and you'll be able to do what you love. I get that if you start to do more of what you love to do, Vince, instead of looking for a job, you are going to make some money. And I do see that you could do the acting or the it feels like films around you, and that you could maybe be something in a movie. I get that there are avenues around you that you should look into that would really excite your spirit. Okay.
Well, see, this thing, that's what I want to do, is I want to be the actor and I want to be a writer. And just recently, as a matter of fact, it aired on Tuesday. I was on NCIS LA. I didn't have any lines, but I was a featured extra, the
uh-huh.
bodyguard, that ended
Yay.
Up...
Yay! See,
I had
hope here. We see
yeah.
we see the lights coming on now. Okay,
so,
good. I like this.
But what am I supposed to do to get a job? Am I supposed to walk into an employment place and put a gun to their head and give me the job because I deserve it? Because anything of
the
lack of...
The fact that you're even describing that tells
uh-huh.
me that your head is in the wrong space and you need to stop now. You need to stop now and you need to shift your energy. Your energy is in your way. In a really big way. It is not too late for you to turn this around, but you need to stop being in the negativity and the fear-based. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to have to go and get some books. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, Susan Jeffers. Go to Unity Church, get around positive people, and start moving. Start moving it. Start volunteering. Start bringing the joy energy in. And, yeah, you got to go out and fill out a zillion applications. Absolutely. You need to go to the Employment Development Department. Absolutely, you do. You do. And you might be washing more dishes before you get there, but you have to move the energy. There's this thing called the power of the spoken word. Okay, and I'm hearing things that come out of you that sound like depression, and while that's valid, there's this other opportunity for you to speak it your dream into reality. And I don't necessarily mean just the glamour dream, but the regular dream. Again, thank you. My bills are finally being paid. Thank you. You need to start believing that because you're believing the other. And what's happening here is you've got to start changing your energy because you're believing in the fear-based. You're believing in the muck that's going on. You've got that despondency. You've got the depression going on. You can clean that up. You have the power to raise your vibration, and you need to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not too late for you to turn this around. But if you keep going the direction that you're going, yeah, you are going to lose it. Okay.
So I liked the energy I was feeling when you started to tell me about being on the CSI show.
Mm-hmm.
I like that energy. That's the energy I want you to walk around with, okay? That you enjoyed doing that. It was fun. You got on the show, and then you got to see it after, and you got to meet stars. And there is an excitement and an enthusiasm that when you were talking about that, that's when your lights went on, okay? So what you have to do is go in that direction and focus more on what your heart wants to do that drives you in a positive, more loving, joyous way. I get, Jessica, I feel it, man. Now, when you were talking about that, that was exciting. That was positive. That was you winning at something that you really wanted to do, and you got it. So I want you to keep thinking about that. Keep remembering how good that felt to be on that show. Remember how it was to be. And I want you just to wake up with that vibe in your heart every single day, okay?
And if you don't know how to do it, you need to go learn. And the beauty about being unemployed is you have time.
Yeah.
You have time to go and treat yourself spiritually.
Yeah. And also to go on these casting calls and to follow your heart and to do those things. I do see that, you know, if you can just follow it every day, take the bus, go to these things that are around you, that you will get money and it's going to come in because you're going to be listening to your heart that's taking you into directions you are really enjoying, okay? And that is part, you know, what somebody said, when you love what you do, you make money. It's so true. You really do. And it sounded like the jobs you were going for, you didn't want them in the first place, you know. You were just doing it.
I wanted them to at least being able to pay the bills and get by. And
yeah. So I want you to look at the paper and say to yourself, if I did that job, I would be happy. If I did that, I'd be happy. I'd feel good if I did that. I want you to look through your heart at the want ads, because it's going to tell you and to show you exactly what it is that you should be doing that will excite your energy and your spirit. Because right now it does feel a bit depressed, you know. And I can understand why, just like Jessica said, you have reason to be. But if you let it win, in a sense, this depression, this way of seeing it, it's just going to bury you deeper. You know, and that you don't need to do. You definitely don't need to. And you have the power to change this. You do.
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
And you are on the edge, you know, but it's not too late.
Mm-hmm. So watch your words. Watch how you even talk to yourself, okay? If it sounds like I won't and I can't, I want you to cancel those words out of your vocabulary and only say things on a positive note. I know
positive
the things
truth.
Are going to... Positive is truth. Negative is not. It would just weigh you down and makes you believe something about yourself that's not true. And the
truth
is
you
are...
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I have a question. Thank you. I want to know, I want you to tell me three things right now that are true in your life right now that are positive.
That are positive?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of one right now. I honestly can't think of one.
I can.
What's that?
You love your wife?
Yes. Okay. But there's also a problem there, too.
Of course. And I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm talking about positive. See, and this is what it is. Those other things are going to be there. And they, while they have their validity, it's really important that you give a pure focus to the positive truth also. Okay? Mm-hmm. You love your wife. You have compassion for your wife. Am I wrong?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The love and the compassion, you need to start working it and bringing it in more and more. Who else do you have compassion for?
I can't think of anyone.
There are people in the world right now that are far worse off than you. There's always somebody who's far worse off than you. It's important to remember to pray for them, give compassion, wish them well. And it's really for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you, because what's happening, again, it's valid, it's frightening, it's painful, it's distressing, all of these things you've described. Yes, there's another reality that never went away. There is love, there is nurturing, there are good things that are going on in your life, and you need to really focus yourself on them, because the other will take you down.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take yourself up.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You know, that other, the energy you're in now is exactly what you would not want to have if you were, you know, if you were on a boat. Yeah. You're trying to save yourself, okay? This is your soul you're saving, your spirit you're saving. If I was going to offer you something, this is a question you have to ask yourself. Would I offer you the negatives of the situation or the positives of the situation to help save you? And so you are saving yourself right now, okay? So if you are going to be talking to yourself, that's going to help you get above water in a sense and breathe and get a sense of your bigness of who you really are, because you are a very talented guy. I'm getting that, you know, the jobs have just not been equal to who you are as a human being. And I get that you're very talented. You're a great actor. I get that you have these great, you have moments in your life that are just full of happiness.
Well, that's exactly what it is. My whole thing is, here's what I want to do, is I've been wanting to take an acting course, a broadcasting course, and a computer course. But in order to take these courses, I have to have money. And I might be able to get enough money from the settlement that I'm going to be receiving in the next couple of weeks, that I'll be able to do that and pay off all my debts and pay off my car. But I don't know. But I need a job or something, and to at least be able to pay the bills and everything and take the course that I want to take until I do get to the point in my life where I want to be, which is the acting and writing. I finished writing one book. It's very controversial, but I want to get it out there. And I've got four more in mind that are going to be very controversial too, but they're true facts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my goal is.
Right.
And it's awesome that you have that. Because you have faith, you can see that you are actually, if you have that as a goal, then you know that at some point you are actually going to get out of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So can you leapfrog yourself forward to the day after you get the check and you paid those bills in your imagination? It's sort of like your energy has become so coagulated from the fear and the depression and the heaviness that what it needs simply is to have the molecular, you know, the energy of you needs to move more, okay? So you need to bring movement into your spirit. You need to bring from exercising, from doing things that make you laugh. There's something called laughter yoga. It's free. You laugh. And you can do it in a group. You can do it by yourself. You can have your cell phone up to your head out in a public park and not even be on the phone and laugh uproariously. That will move your energy. The body does not know the difference between a sincere laugh or an insincere laugh. It doesn't matter. You can do that. There are things, there are exercises and disciplinary things you need to do, and I mean that in the positive sense. You need to practice and treat yourself in ways that get your energy moving, because the other is bringing you down, and you know that there's a future for you. You know, you've said it, that you're going to be someday out of this. Yes, you are.
I like that. See, that to me is that's your 2 point right there, Vin.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep the goal of your happiness
right in front of you, not far away in the distance, but right in front of you, so that these things won't seem so big compared to what you already know is going to happen for you. Because to me, that's what I know, that when I see you, those qualities stand out around you, but when you talk to me and the vibe, the energy that comes to me is not that of what I see. Okay? So I want you to match the energy of who you really are inside to the words that you put out in the world. Because ultimately, that's what Jessica said. That's what I'm feeling, too. That will be the turning point for this whole situation. Okay? So I want you to get your journals out and start writing about this next book. And I want you to actually see it, what it would be, how you, you know, what the cover looks like. And if you were a broadcaster, what would you be broadcasting? Would you be on Blog Talk Radio? Would you be doing what kind of broadcast would you like to do? I want you to extend the vision into an actual vision that you can see yourself doing, okay? Because that's very powerful to the psyche, to the spirit, okay?
And you're right, and I do know the kind of broadcasting I'd want to do, whether it be on TV or radio, wouldn't matter to me, but I want to be out there telling the truth. Like, you know, for instance, why I feel that George Bush belongs in prison. And
so, see, you have hope. You're talking about the future, and so what you're telling us is that you actually have hope, and you need to go towards your hope. You need to work towards your hope. If you're going to write your controversial books and you're going to do an expose, that's great. That's future. So someday, you already know, this is going to come to an end, and you're actually going to have a flow of income, and you're going to actually be doing what it is that you choose to do. We're asking you to do something that's not easy, but you are a strong man. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all about when my next buck's going to come from, if I'm going to have steady work.
You are the source.
Be able to have a roof.
That's
over
right.
My head.
You are the source.
The source,
so.
Yeah.
It's
and
not
you,
coming
and
from outside
that's
of
what you have to know. You are being taken care of, and all is well. When you are worried about something, you're actually shutting down the opportunity for things to improve because you are layering it with more, in a sense, energy that says, oh, it's getting worse, you know, and it's almost like a pain. I want you to remember this. If you have a pain in your body and all you think about is that pain, okay, you're thinking about it. All of a sudden, the door rings and somebody is bringing over a check and it's got $1 million on it. They give you that check. Are you in pain?
No.
Where did it go? Is it real? So what we are saying is you are the orchestrator of your life. And if you're in constant like observance of what is wrong, we're trying to shift you out of it so that you can see that the check is coming in and all of a sudden you're not there anymore. So you can do this on an energetic level way before anything happens. You have to do it, actually, before things can change. You have to get out of your own way, in a sense, and stop the verbiage that continues the cycle of what you're into. And I
you need
can
to
see
look into.
Can,
the, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead, Les. Yeah.
You can go. You can look into the New Thought movement, the Unity Church. There's also Church of Christ Scientists, I think, and they give free treatments. You can go in for free, and they can pray with you, and they can also help you change your thoughts, change your cognitions to something that is more truthful and not so fearful. Worry, just like fear, if you breathe into it, it will transform. You can look into the yogic cleansing breath. That will also move your molecular structure around and get that energy so it's not so coagulated. There's plenty that you can do for yourself that isn't going to cost you anything because what you need to do that's healing for you is on an energy level. Yeah, you need to do the mundane stuff too. You are not off the hook. You got to fill out those applications. Is your resume up to date? Are you sending that thing out? You need to be doing that too. But you also need to be taking care of your spirit. Mm-hmm. You get myopic on the whole, you know, what's not working and all of the stuff that you have to do and the bleach company and the hamburger company and all that. Yes, that's there. That's the world we live in. Yes, you need to treat your spirit. Your spirit is very hungry, and it's free.
And it's free. And it really is about just journaling all the positive thoughts that you have about your life and
gratitude
reinforcing that in your consciousness. So now when I see you, Vince, I see a very capable man. I see a man that has vision, that is creative, that has a lot to say, and also loves acting and all that too. I get that. That's the guy I see. Now, the guy that you just showed me, the one that's worried and didn't get the job, that is just something that happened to you. It's not who you are. Okay? You are this divine spirit orchestrating your life because you are the powerful being that you are. I mean, that's what you have to get a hold of. It's your life, and you are orchestrating by what you say it's going to be. So reevaluate how the words are taking you down these roads. You know, I was going down this dark road, man, and I could see it and feel it, but that's not true. That's just the story of the moment, that this moment will change. That's what you have to know.
Because change is the only constant.
Yeah, it's the only thing you can be sure of, Vince, is that this will change. And tomorrow you're going to wake up and it's a new day and new opportunities are going to be there. And that's what you have to know, that this very moment is going to change. And it's going to get better once you, in a sense, look at it differently. Okay? Because, you know, you're going to wake up and you're in this beautiful body. You can go for a walk. You can smell the flowers. You can do things that are totally, that fulfill you, that fill you up. Like Jessica said, your spirit is starving to get filled of some beauty and some hope and some joy and some laughter and all that wonderful stuff that's available to you no matter what is going on. You know, it's like that story, remember, about the Buddha, the Buddhist running, and he's got a lion chasing him. And he's running, and he realizes that he's coming to a cliff. But right at the cliff, there's a strawberry. So he grabs the strawberry, and he dives, and he actually jumps off the cliff to his death while he's eating the strawberry. And so what it talks about is being in the moment, that in every moment, even if you're being chased by a lion, there is joy, there is pleasure, there is love. And I get that's the vibe we're trying to get you to kind of to get into, you know, to feel for yourself. So please try. That's all you can do is to do something different.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I know it's so, and I'm sure everybody on the planet, if someone else can see it, it's so. You know? It's not, you're not hopeless. No one ever is. It's just how we perceive ourselves.
No, I'm just beginning to think that I just don't have a place in this life because I keep losing out to everybody else on these jobs.
That's the core belief. That's good that you said that. That's a core belief. You do have a place in this life. Guess why? Because you're here.
Yeah.
It is a core belief. You know, that speaks of isolation. So you need to get yourself surrounded by loving, positive, uplifting people. They're there. It's free. Unity Church, the churches that are similar to that. You know, there are a lot of places you can go to get treatment. People who run, you know, there are places where they run Reiki energy for free on people. You need to find these. You know, you can go to the health food store and get leads for this sort of thing. There are people who are massage therapists who are learning. They need people to practice on, whatever. It's out there, but you have to draw on. You need to be nurtured and nourished. If you've got somebody in your life who's very, very sick, that's an enormous drain. Even if you had the job, you were paying the bills, all the other stuff in your life was working, that's an enormous drain right there. So you are spiritually hungry and thirsty, and it's up to you. Only you can fill that up. Only you can.
And that's
so you need to. You need to go, and you need to ask those who would give. There are people who are in service. I do service work. There are people who do service work. They will give to you.
Yeah. And that is a big issue because my wife is extremely ill.
Right.
You know, so, and it's just a major, major big burden. Yes, that me getting a job would not solve her health issues, but it would be a lot more easier in our minds. Knowing that at least I'm bringing in some sort of income that I can help provide.
Yeah. Well, Vince, I really do see that if you called your lawyer about your case and then said I need an extension, you could do it. So I do see that the money and your situation is going to improve. I really do. I get there is money coming to you. I just know it is. So I want you to just know that it's coming. Don't worry about it. Just let the thought go and have one moment where you're not downing yourself in any way because you're a perfectly wonderful, capable person. And all that you were just telling me about yourself, I don't believe, you know. And the truth is, neither does your soul believe that. you know.
So she's not calling you a liar. What she's doing is demonstrating to you in her action the kind of discipline that you need to take on. I do not believe this. This is not who I am. Who I am is worthwhile and strong and resourceful, and I have hope for the future, and I'm lovable, and I'm joy-filled, and I envelop myself in people who reflect that back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it. And, you know, that's what you have, this is the conversation you have to hear, you know, that has to be coming into your soul and to your mind. And just keep doing, even if you record, this is what I want you to do. Get a recorder, Vince, and in the recording, I want you to say every positive thing about who you are as a human being. You're a loving, caring, intelligent person who's quite capable of finding love, joy, bliss, and of course, employment. And I want you to say that, okay, into the recorder. And every night, I want you to listen to it. And let it get into the subconscious mind. Let it really penetrate. So that's the recording that you start to say to yourself. Because what we have to do is erase, in a sense, the recording that you're getting in there. That's not true. That's just not true. You know?
And you're right, because I've been told many times by several coaches and several people I've worked with that I'm an incredible actor. I just haven't had the breaks. I haven't had anybody come up to me and say, hey, I want you to read these lines. I think you'd be perfect for it. And the first big break was having to be an extra featured on NCIS, where I got a chance to unite and get acquainted with LL Cool J, who's a fantastic guy. Really
cool. See, that's cool, Vince.
That's awesome.
See, that you did get a break, so I don't want to hear that anymore. You don't get breaks. You got a break.
We didn't get
so
to do
breaks
that.
Breaks do happen. Yeah, I see. See, breaks do happen. You got one. So in your dialogue with yourself that says, I don't get a break, that's not true. You just lied to yourself because you did get a break and you got on that show and you did a great job. And so that's what you have to remember. When you tell yourself lies, because that's a lie, because you just did get a break. So life is showing you that it does show up for you and it does give you what you want. So you have to just remember that. Remember that more than you do everything else. The ones that, you know, that's what we, you know, the mind is such an amazing thing. Like if I told you 1,000 compliments and somebody came along and said one insult, you'll remember that insult for the rest of your life. And I don't know why that is, but it's really just because the core belief has to change.
I'll
when that
you.
Core belief changes that that's not true about me, then you won't even listen to that anymore, okay?
I'll tell you why that is. Have you ever heard the story of Laurence Olivier, what happened to him?
I didn't know. But, Vince, I really hate to cut short. We have 2 other callers, and we only have 18 more minutes. So I would really love you to call back. Jessica's going to be on again and really start working some of the pieces that we talked about, okay?
Right.
And I will keep the highest vision for you, and I know that it's going to work out as soon as you decide to get on your side, okay?
Okay.
All
discipline.
Right,
Blessings. Use that strength.
Use that strength. You got it. So you're going to do it. All right, love.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Oh, hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who are we talking to? 770 number?
Hello?
Hi, who are we talking to?
Oh, my name is Arlene. I was just, I sort of tuned in late, so
yeah.
I'm probably going to have to hit you up on the archive.
That's okay. That'll be good.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I see where you do readings. I was hoping maybe I can just catch a reading.
Okay.
Arlene, that's your name?
Yes.
What city are you in?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, you're wonderful. Okay. You've got somebody in spirit who wants to tell you they love you. Is it a grandmother, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, she passed. I was so young.
Mm-hmm. You've got a feminine person, a little heavy in the hips. With short, dark hair, kind of curly, actually very curly. But somebody is telling you they love you, saying hello. What I'm seeing is that there's definitely, that's interesting, wow. sorry, I cracked myself up. Having a conversation with myself, is that what you wanted to hear? there's an isolation going on, but at the same time, there's an intense love coming towards you. Can you help me out with that?
An intense love?
an intense love is coming toward you right now. And at the same time, your experience is that you're alone, isolated. I need some help with this. There's also, what I'm seeing also is that there's a deep insecurity, like you're not so sure if you are doing the right thing in your life, you're not so sure if you are valuable, and this whole thing is causing you to have to let go and surrender and just sort of trust God, trust the process. You've got two, wow, this is really, you're in a really intense time right now.
Really?
So you're being challenged to let go a lot, but you're also really being very, very introspective in terms of not only just your thoughts, but also your beliefs and your sense of trust in who and what you are.
Wow.
Did
this
you have
is kind of intense.
Yeah.
It's kind of intense for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
How so? Tell me more about that.
Well, I'm not even sure where to begin. I mean, the only thing I was thinking about really was job-wise or career-wise, what choices, you know, what I should do.
Okay.
But you said I had two people. You said something. Was it two or one person that was sending?
In spirit? Oh, you've got somebody
who's
you got a feminine. Matronly person who is blowing you a kiss.
Mm.
Just a really loving hello from the other side.
So I think maybe that spirits are just trying to say that this is a time for change and that you are going to be, that you have help. You have this guide, and this, in a sense, maybe a grandmother, that's here for you. So when you're feeling insecure or unsure or alone in your decision making, ask her to help you and support you. So that's a really wonderful thing to know, that you have this guide. And when they're ancestors, and when they're especially someone who loves you and who has lineage in your spiritual development, they really do come around when you are sad or under question. You know, so that's a wonderful thing to know. Does that feel like a good thing to know?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Okay,
It does. Now, but what do you see as far as career?
I see that your perception is that you're on your own, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of like that's sort of your view of life, is that you're on your own. You're really perceiving that you're isolated, but that there's definitely something that's coming toward you. A proposal, perhaps a job proposal. Somebody is going to see what it is in you that is valuable and offer that to you. Now, to me, it looks like a sweetheart, but you're asking about career. That was the question you came into this call with, so it must be a career proposal then.
Okay. But you said a sweetheart?
Well, it looks like a sweetheart to me. I need your help with this because you've got an intensive love energy that's coming. It's the night. The night is very intense. The night runs on the back of a horse. Horses are power. This is the night of cups. Cups represent love. Now, I'm not necessarily meaning, it does not necessarily mean romantic love. Love is the universal energy of providence. You know, you've got all different kinds of love. But there is
now,
a loving force.
Is it a past?
There's a loving force coming to you. It could be a job offer, or it could be a guy or a woman. I don't know what your preference is, but there is a loving force that is coming toward you. However, your perception of yourself and your life is that you're on your own. Tell me I'm wrong. Help me out here.
Well, this June will be 10 years in a marriage, so I'm trying. I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, well, so you came in with the question about career, so that must be what this is. Now, see, if you think about it, when you are offered a job and someone actually makes that selection and chooses you, it can be a very, you know, whatever it is that's going to come to you, it's going to be a positive thing. It's going to be more than just a technical decision. They're going to like you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So night is very intense. They're galloping, you know, and they're on a mission. And this is a mission of love. Somebody's going to, you've got power coming toward you, a loving power. But, again, I keep saying this, and I'm not hearing you respond to me. your perception is that you're isolated, that you're on your own. Help me out with this. Give me some words. Am I wrong or am I right?
Well, no, you sort of right because, yeah, I do feel like that, you know, even though I know I'm not. I mean, I have a support system here.
I know. So here's what I want to tell you about this, okay? The way that this isolation, the way I'm seeing it is it's a nine of swords, and nine represents integration. So this is an old habit. You're accustomed to thinking of yourself as somebody who is kind of on your own. And you just told me that it's not true. Now, swords represent thought. They represent intellect. It can cut you, a sword, or can protect you. And the key to a sword is balance. A well-balanced sword, you can wield it very well. It's actually a strength to perceive yourself as on your own because we need to remember not to depend on anybody, but the source that is within us, our higher power. I don't know what your terms are for that. Do you believe in God?
Definitely.
Okay, so then you need to know, right, so that's your provider. There is no other, that is your provider, that is your source. Okay, so it's actually a strength to see yourself as on your own, but the truth is that's just your worldview, and you need to shift it and look at how you're really not on your own and look at how you are really supported and nurtured and nourished and watch for that love coming to you. And just as I said to the previous caller, use your power of imagination to imagine yourself on the other side. She was right. Oh, my God. They were like, oh, where have you been? We've been looking for you. You're perfect for this job. We're so thankful. Would you take the job?
Definitely. I wish you'd hear me up.
And really, I like this. Why don't you also pick exactly what it is you want to do? You know?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, that one you got to get clear on so that the perfect job can find you. So it's not a job. You know, we don't want just to make money. We want you to feel satisfied and in a sense,
and
really happy to go to work.
Yeah,
and appreciated and loving what you do. So I want you to dig deep into that question of what is it that would make you happy?
What would you stay up all night to do?
What?
Excuse me? What would you stay up all night to do?
Oh, yeah.
What would you stay up all night to do? I would stay up all night to do this.
What would I like to stay up? What's the question?
Her question was, what would keep you up all night if you, and you would be so thrilled to do it?
Oh, goodness. I don't know.
Think about it.
It would definitely fall along my own business, something along with that, you know.
Doing what?
That I could see myself, because I'm really not a night, overnight person, but.
Right, but there is something that would thrill you that would keep you up all night with joy. I would stay up all night to help somebody through a crisis.
Yeah,
I would stay up all night
to
hold the hand of a woman giving birth. I would do that, absolutely.
I would
stay up all night if somebody was suicidal, to be with them and to talk with them, and that's what I would do, because that's what I would stay up all night to do. And so that's my calling in my life. So my question to you is, what is it that you would stay up all night to do? Because you do know.
Yeah, I love that question.
Well, it gives me something to ponder on tonight, I guess.
Yeah, like that, you know, because then that will resonate to your spirit to do something. Like if you like to help the elderly or, you know, help them go get their things or, you know, just, you know, be there to talk with you or, you know, have a friend. I mean, these are things that you could do as a job, you know, a companion or a caretaker in a way that you could just, you know, help them out in their house or cooking or, I mean, whatever you enjoy that when you leave there, you're going to say.
I did that when I was younger and, you know, and that's how I come to find out that there's just certain things that, you know, I just don't know. I just don't want to do because, with them, it's kind of heart-wrenching and heartbreaking for me because when they're up in age like that and something, of course, they have some kind of ailment and they tend to pass away or something happened, you know, I just take that to, it just lingers with me.
But we're not asking you what you don't want to do.
Sometimes, you know, answering your question, you actually answer it through what you don't want to do.
Right, you'll get
to what you do want to do. So this is good. This is good. So we've already done that. We've been there. We don't want to do that again. So in the elements of joy, when people are in a good mood, you'd like to be around that. So that they're in a happy, so that you can you can be in a good place.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha. Okay. So then that's the question. What jobs, when you are doing them, are you around them when they're in joy? So weddings, right?
I see little kids running towards you.
I don't know. Yeah.
Help me out. Little ones.
Yeah.
Kids. Yeah, I was thinking about elementary school teacher.
Okay, so that's where, you know, and again, you could just go in and volunteer and let the little guys fall in love with you for a day, and that could be that big energy rushing towards you also. You know, it doesn't hurt to go and put yourself in a situation where that is rushing towards you as well, because we are talking about the world of energies. We're psychics. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at energies because things follow energies. Things happen. Mm-hmm. Everything is developed in the world of energy first, in the world of thought, before it manifests. Everything is a thought. Before the airplane was invented, Oliver and Wilbur, whatever their names were, you know, they thought, wouldn't it be cool to be like a bird, right?
Yeah,
they thought
to be
about
able to fly.
Before they made it happen. A table. Somebody said, gosh, you know, if I could just have a big flat rock that I could smash these acorns on, it would be so much easier. And a table was developed. Okay? So we need to use our thought and use it very carefully and consciously and deliberately to manifest what it is that we want. So you believe very much in God. Okay, God spoke the word and then it became.
Right.
That is a lesson in speaking something into happening. In other words, something was a thought, it went through you, it went through God, and it was spoken into being. You have that same capability. You can speak it into being. You can imagine it into being. We bring things into manifestation through us, and you do it lovingly, and you say your prayers first, and you make sure that it's according to God's will. So that you're square with, you know what I'm saying? So that you're square with the Lord and you're okay and you're cool and you can call in.
Right. So I get that happiness and joy is where your energy would be thrilled to get a job in. So that's what I know. Okay.
Yes.
So what we have to look at and what in life do people have a good attitude when they get there? Either when they're traveling, you know, they get there and they're so happy. So you could be in the travel industry. You could be in some kind of weddings are very joyful. People are in a good mood. Children. I see children too.
Daytime nanny.
Yeah, nanny, children, things that, you know, you are of support, but it's in a joyous state of mind, in a sense of heart. So I like this. This is good. this is good. This is going to give you food for thought, and in a sense get your energies towards what it is that is really going to be the beautiful and most perfect position, you know, for your spirit. So it's not just a job, you know, it's what you love. So that's a different question. You know, if you just want a job, you can go to Burger King. But if you really want to have, you know, a fulfilling, purposeful question answered, you have to ask the question of the universe to say, well, I love this, and this is what I can see myself doing, and that would bring me joy. And so then you see yourself in the future having this experience of being happy to go to work and having a great time and coming back and telling your husband about it. And, you know, feel it out. Feel how it would be to be already in that position, and then it will come to you, because that's really what we're talking about, is that energy is like a magnet. It pulls in itself, you know. So wherever you're at, it's like water. If I put a glass of water here and I put a glass of water like 3 inches, 4 inches away from it, guess what? It's going to merge. It's going to find itself. Well, energy is the same thing. You know, it finds, it matches itself. So that's what we're seeing. So I see it as a really wonderful, positive thing for you happening, that this is an opening to the question that will get you what you want, in a sense. Okay? So much love, and we're going to just take
more
calls.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, love. Have a wonderful night, okay? Bye-bye.
You too.
Hi, we're on Heart and Soul. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Vivian.
Who?
Vivian. Yes.
Vivian, okay.
Oh, Vivian.
Hello,
okay.
Welcome.
Okay, I just have a question for my husband's new job. And he got a new job, this is the third week, but constantly his boss is coming to tell him he's going to fight. I'm kind of worried about this situation.
You know, are you on a cell phone? Because you're cutting
yes.
out.
Okay, yeah,
I missed
yeah.
a good chunk of that sentence.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're asking about your husband's new job, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And he's the boss, you said?
Yeah, his boss continually say he want to fire him.
Oh.
So I kind of worry.
Hmm.
Do you see him to get fired or something?
Hmm. Oh,
I'm definitely getting a transition here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I would do? I think that what we're getting, though, is that if your husband is being threatened by his job being because this man doesn't like him or whatever, it would be wise of him to start looking while he still has a job for another position. And so that it would be an easy transition. Okay? So have if there's some other job that, you know, that they know him, or have him put the word out that he may be, looking for a position. And at least this way, it's true, it is easy to find a job when you have a job. So I get you, Jessica, that it's a good thing to kind of, instead of have energy stop and then have to go looking, just have him, if he's got friends or people that he knows, that he could put the word out. And then he's looking. It would be a more easy transition if this job does end up not working out. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah. But don't worry about it. You know, worry is like, you know, pouring black paint on it.
And that's
really
the other message.
I want you. Yeah. Really see the highest good happening for your husband. See a transition happening for him. See that, you know, he will get a position. He'll just go from one position to a really nice position where this boss will really appreciate him. I want you to see that for him. Okay, Le?
Vivian, this is a time when we need to walk as cause and not be the victims of effect. If this boss is threatening repeatedly that your husband is going to be fired, that is a blessing because you have a little forewarning. And it's really important for you to make sure that you get your bearings in love and that you stand in love and that you keep that positive energy going. And as his spouse, you have a karmic opportunity to really contribute to his transition as something that goes well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's, you know, I think, I believe his boss.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you see this going to be happening? It's happening?
Yeah.
Looks to me like that's really what's going to happen, yeah. But the way what I'm looking at is a transition, and that's definitely already, the guy's made up his mind, but there's this other side of it as well, which is the love, and that's the part we need to focus on. We don't have control over what somebody else does. Everybody's got this free will thing going on. We don't have control over that. We do have control over ourselves and our own energy and our love. And you have to use that. You cannot buy into this. You cannot buy into what you see because there's so much more. Are you sitting on a piece of furniture right now?
Yes.
Okay.
A desk. Yes.
All right. Science will tell you that desk is actually more outer space than it is solid. But we believe that it's solid. We know we're fooled. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that you listen to me about this. You have to stay in command of believing in love and believing in what is positive and that good things are here and coming. You have to keep your energy. You don't have to. You have free will. You can crash and burn and you know, be depressed and fail along in accordance with that because you have your free will. You have that choice. We have this other option. We have the option to be loving and to be positive and proactive. So it's up to the two of you. But you're an integral part of his life, and you have a lot of opportunity to influence it in a very positive way.
Yeah.
Is his resume updated? Is he looking? Is he searching? Is he being proactive? Because actually being warned about this is grace. He's getting a little you know, maybe a paycheck or two before or whatever, before it comes to pass. He's not saying you are fired. He's saying it's going to come. So this is an opportunity. You have a little bit of time leverage here to be proactive about this.
But the reason he quit his job without telling me in last year, October, ever since like, and this is his new job, you know, after 6 months. And then this is only about the third week. So, I know I'm about to, this is my last week for my current job. And so I'm just wondering, that, and then his income will be the only income we have now. So the kind of worry, you know.
I know, and that's what we do. We get into fear and we get into worry, and that's a habit. But that is something over which you actually have control, and you need to be able to transform that. Again, I've been saying this all night. Worry and fear, they're real for me too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a person, two people, okay, and you put them in isolated chambers and they're all riddled with electrodes, okay, and we're measuring their heart rate and their breathing and all of that, and one person sees a horror movie, okay, and the other one is given $1 million cash, we would not be able to tell which one was terrified and which one was thrilled. The difference is if one person breathes, they can take the fear and transform it. If you breathe long enough into your worry and your fear, it will transform into excitement. So I know that's hard to believe right now, but it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
We can only move forward. We can only be proactive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just tell him to prepare to go for next job. And
absolutely.
It's going to happen soon, right?
Yeah,
that resume.
And to book, you know, to that's what I'm getting. That if he could tell some friends or other people, or that are in the industry, that he's, I feel like he's around food. Is that possible? Are we in a?
No, actually, he was first store manager for 9 years, but he quit last year.
All right.
So
okay,
he didn't want to go for the restaurant business.
Yeah,
no,
that's
more
what I feel like where I'm at and I'm in. So there are plenty other places that he could check into and see if they need any help. So my feeling is, as long as he gets proactive and doesn't settle for this boss, you know, in a sense, degrading him in any way, it's the best move. But there won't be a break in pay. That's what we're getting. If he can just transcend this and move this along in a loving way and say, this is the best thing for me, I'm not happy here anyway, and he'll get the next position and everything will be fine. And as for you too, I get that, you know, the same thing goes for you. So we're worried about him, but you're not going to be working too. So the same principle that we're working for him will work for you, okay? And that is to see what it is that you will have money coming to you. See it ahead, you know, visualize it coming to you. And then the next moment, you'll see why. You know, it will come to you in exactly which way you're going to be doing it. It could be selling something. I feel like craft or selling something that you're good at doing is some way that you could make money, you know. And not to worry, just always have this excitement instead of fear about the next move. Because, like, that's the difference between what she's talking about. It's the same thing. The only difference is one is breathing and one isn't, right? So
I can get, you know.
Yeah, I can feel that one. When I'm in fear, I am so not breathing.
Yeah, because I just wondering, because, you know, every time, you know, when you're starting the new job, it's kind of stressed. So that's why you have to deal with your boss. That's why, you know, I have the same feeling too. But now I'm getting over, you know, with my boss. Even this week is my last week, and they even buy the cake for me tomorrow. But tomorrow is my last day. So at the beginning, I was crying every day. So, but I changed my mind, you know, I say, okay, I'm going to live happily and work happily, you know, that's the way I'm taking care of my life. But
good
however,
girl.
She's holding the negative energy. He's the one really holding the negative energy. And I told him, you know, just deal with your boss, you know, try your best, try your hard, and I show her, you know, you are really working hard, you know, in that way. They're going to see something different. And then no one can take care of the new job and the efficiency in 3 weeks. That's impossible.
Right.
However, you know, he called me today. He said, okay, and the boss is looking for other people trying to replace my job right now. And then I try to, you know, try to study myself because I'm going to take my nursing license examination.
I start
next
nursing
week
for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. And nursing's a wonderful career for anyone because you'll always have a job. You know, they really will need you. Yeah. So just keep on, you know, keep the focus on what it is you know you're going to be doing,
right,
first of
and
all.
And if you're going into exams, right, you said you're going to take the exam?
Next, May 25th.
Okay, Vivian, so this is the time for getting the rest, right, and keeping your attitude where it needs to be. Because you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And it could be that you know, whatever. This is not a prediction, okay? But
it could be
that
24.
I am not making a prediction right now. I'm just giving you an example. You might have to try a couple times or whatever. What I'm saying is you're going to do it. Here's my prediction. You are going to do it. You are going to pass, okay? But it doesn't necessarily show up the way that you think it's going to show up, right? And it's really, really important that you listen to me, that you get your rest, and that you keep your attitude where it needs to be. Because the truth of the matter is you can be worried and afraid all you want, but it never comes out the way you fear or worry that it would come out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let it go. Take a nice deep breath in and see the future as exactly the way that you'd like it to be. And that is you in a nice, calm state, you getting your RN, you know, everything working, you getting an awesome job. You know, they pay a lot per hour. You'll be fine. So the thing is, that's what I'm going to see for you. And that's what I know is coming for you. As long as you can stay out of all the stuff, you know, because you've got enough on your plate, in a sense, that you have to focus and really come from a nice, clean center when you take a test. You know, relax.
Yes.
And I'll take care of you. Yeah.
And here is a prediction I can see, and this is a silly prediction, but I want you to see it anyway, that you're walking out of the exam and you did it, and you're totally fried.
Yes.
But you're relieved because it's done. That is coming. That, for sure, is coming. You're not going to fail this. So really what you're going to do is you're going to make sure that you're drinking enough water and that you're eating enough but not too much and that you're not overstudying, right? You know what to do here.
I knew. I just, you know, but that's my A time.
Okay, that's okay. So that's all right. So that's what I was talking about, you know. It's like the bar exam. People take it over and over again, and eventually, you know.
You do
Some don't pass, and they don't admit it or whatever, but you will.
And that's the vision. See, if you let your worry about your husband get clouded, it's just another reason for, you know, you to fail. So we're trying to get rid of that whole black cloud that, you know, worry puts over you. To get rid of it, it's not there. It's only created, you know, and it's created out of our insecurities a lot of times, you know. So let's get rid of it. It's not going to happen, you know. And if that's not the obstacle, then there's no obstacle for this not to work for you, you know. So I get that. Sometimes we create obstacles because of our fear of of it too, you know. So, you know, we worry about our husband, and then that worry becomes such a big worry that that could be the reason why we didn't do well on the test. So let's take that away. It's not there. It's gone. Okay. And I'm going to take one more call, and we're kind of over the time. Is that okay for you, Jessica?
Having so much fun. Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you so much
for calling. Let us know how it goes. All right. We'll keep you on a high vision for you.
Bless
all right.
You.
Okay. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Hi, you're in Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hello.
Hi. Who is it?
My name is Jean.
Hi, Jean. How are you? You have a question for Jessica?
Yes, please. I just only have a question in regards of the job that I applied last Monday. And, you know, a little career is what you see about on it.
Boy, they got a lot of applicants.
Yes.
It doesn't look, you're up against some pretty stiff competition. I would keep on going. I would keep moving along and continue to apply.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to know not to just don't put all of your hopes on this, okay? Keep applying, okay?
But the thing is, excuse me.
No, go ahead, Lou.
I keep bursting forth over you. You do have a fighting chance, though.
Hello?
You are in the running, but you have a lot of competition. They're stressed about this. You know, it's not fun looking through 250 resumes and, you know, weighing out 6 one way with this person and half a dozen the other. You do have a fighting chance, but there's a lot of competition with this one.
Mm. Oh, Jean, she just hung up. I heard some problem with her phone. Well, she can still hear us when she listens. She can still listen to the show. But so, Jean, we're saying that keep looking. The vibe was that there'll be so many that you could get overlooked, and that's kind of the vibe that I was picking up too. So it's not about getting into, oh, I'm never going to, just keep going at it, you know, just keep you know, putting them out there, and it's going to come. And so that is the end of the show, Jessica. That was it.
Yay.
Jean, yeah, thank you so much. We did go over quite about 20 minutes over time, but we just had to make sure everybody felt heard, and that's a really, that's what I love to do too. So I didn't mind at all. And thank you so much, Jessica, for coming and really helping. I really felt that our message was the same about really getting to the source of the problem. And really seeing how we are addressing ourselves, because that self-talk is really what, in a sense, will make or break you.
Right.
And so really check in to the energy that you're giving yourself, you know, because negative energy is like poison. You know, you are hurting yourself every time you talk negative about yourself in any way. So
and
just remember. Go ahead, Lou.
These are times that, I mean, I've always lived on the edge, you know, again, hand to mouth, you know. I'm familiar with the way to call in the work and you feast or you famine, whatever kind of thing. And so consciousness is a really, really huge part in creating. And a lot of people are used to a regular paycheck or getting some sort of check from some sort of organization. And now what's happening is a lot of people are being thrust into this more self-reliant kind of creative space that they're not accustomed to. And it can be extremely frightening. But in every challenge, there is a huge opportunity, not a little one. In every dispute, there is an opportunity. And we are now being challenged to really rely on our own energy and to make sure that we are attuned to love, to make sure that we're taking care of our bodies, to make sure that we are doing everything in our power, not just on the mundane plane, but with love, with generosity. If you're feeling down, you need to go and give. You need to go and work in the soup kitchen and serve food to people. You need to volunteer somewhere. You need to call up friends and tell them how you appreciate them and really get that energy moving. It's not enough anymore just to send out resumes or just to, you know, go on the dating sites and see if there's anybody available. It's really important that we flow with this transition that we're all going through.
Right. That's so true. Because really, that is the ultimate truth. The way that we did things before is not working now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really, I know this is all new for everybody, but we have to start using our creative force and intellect, in a sense, that we put aside because of the way things used to be. And if we can just regain some of that innocence, that childlike imagination that we had, it will start to re-spark our own creativity to find the source within.
Right.
So I hear you with that, and I hope everyone hears that, you know, you are making it up.
And the truth is that
you say, and whatever you say goes. And that's
right.
As
and
simple
love,
as it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
but
much love
is who we are.
Yeah, and much love, Jessica. We're gonna sign off because it's past our time, and I will have Jessica on again. So please look for her. So hopefully we could have her on every week. That would be wonderful. And I love you, sweetie, and thank you for having such an open heart tonight. And I'll talk to you real soon. Okay,
take care.
Sweetie.
Bye.
Much love.